live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. We have people all over the world, from syndicated stations and over Facebook, a lot of people from Facebook watching. This program is meant to empower you. I'm going to be providing insights of how to live a longer and healthier life. For example, today, for those of you who may not be meditating, you think, well, what's in it? Is there any basis for it? Yeah, there are 12 scientific reasons to meditate. I'm going to share those with you. And then, have you ever heard of alpha lipoic acid? You should. It can help your brain. I'll explain. And also today, I'm going to answer some questions from people who are watching on Facebook. And we're only streaming, so you understand, for those of you watching Facebook, the first half of the program, dealing with health and nutrition, motivation, and inspirational issues. Then we'll take a music break, and that's all you'll be seeing. But after that, if you want to come back and see the other things on the environment that I'll be dealing with, and hard-hitting social issues, guests, and topics that my larger core audience has been tuned into for over 41 years, 45 years, actually, you're welcome to do that as well. And you can go to prn.fm, that's PRN, Progressive Radio Network.fm, if you want to continue. But if you just want the health and nutrition part, we're going to give it to you right up front. I'm going to answer some questions about antioxidants today because it's one thing to know, gee whiz, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking could cause me to get sick a lot faster than what anyone had ever believed. So I'm going to show you how to neutralize a lot of the negative in your diet. So that's what we've got coming up to you. And also we're going to have in this segment, some motivating insights, a short piece from Alan Watts. Alan's just one of these wonderfully lyrical philosophers of life. And it's about a Chinese farmer looking at a simple way of understanding how to look at everything in life, not just your own perspective. And also there's the story of a young girl going before the United Nations and explaining why we should be interested in the environment we live in. And then we look back 20 years and say, wow, did she nail it? Very inspirational. So let's begin. First up, I want to talk about why we should meditate. Now, this is some of the latest, and this is from Dr. Matthew Torp, medical doctor and a PhD from Authority Nutrition. First and foremost, it reduces stress. One of the reasons I suggest you go into nature, whether it's a city park, your own backyard, if you can get out into the larger world of nature, going for hiking, picnicking, it's great. I know that one of the reasons I've always lived on a farm, I'm an organic farmer. In fact, I had the first organic teaching farm in New York State in its history. In fact, the whole tri-state area. And every weekend, many of you, on Saturdays, I sometimes would have as many as 700 of you come up to the old Fertiller Farm up in Stone Ridge. And there you would learn about soils and how to grow sprouts and microgreens and indoors and outdoors. And I even showed once a workshop in the middle of the winter when it was 3 foot of snow. And I showed that you could go out and open up a lid and have warm lettuces growing. How to do that? How to make an insulated box and put a little light bulb in there. 12 months a year you can have produce, even when the weather is that bad. And showed people how to make tofu and how to dry peaches up one afternoon. We have photographs up on my website. You can see, you'll see what looks like linen. It's not. It's like a muslin cloth. We would cut it to go over what looked like, but wasn't, a screen door. It was just a frame with scream on it, and we would take peaches, nectarines, plums, apples in season, thinly slice them, put them on that, and then spritz lemon juice on them, lay that cloth over it to keep the insects off of it, and then 4 days later, take it back and you've got dried fruit. And that dried fruit will last years. And that's what the pioneers, our great-grandparents, used to use so that they could have something to eat each day. In fact, they would do that not just with fruit, but also tomatoes and vegetables. In fact, they would take a lot of the tomatoes, they would dry them, and there would be hundreds of seeds in one single tomato. And they would then use those seeds to plant the next group of tomatoes. And they would have root vegetables, cellars, where it would be below 55 degrees, 12 months a year, and they could keep apples and carrots. And I show people you don't even have to take carrots out of the ground. You can keep them in the ground 12 months a year. So it was a wonderful teaching experience. But one of the most important parts of it was when everyone got there, either Friday night if they were staying for the weekend or on Sunday, I would take them for a nature walk. Now, I had a 50-acre farm, and most of it was hills. And I first asked them, let's go through a walk. And so we go for a walk. And about 10 minutes later, we would finish the walk. And then I said, okay, how many birds did you hear? Didn't hear any. How many of you saw the beavers? What beavers? How about the deer? Didn't see any deer. How about the eagles? There were eagles? Yeah, all those things. I said, now let's do it as a walking meditation. What's that mean? It means we're going to go right back that same path, but this time, instead of talking, which distracts our attention, we're simply going to be mindful and in the moment. Just relax yourself and just be present. Don't allow thoughts in your mind. If a thought comes in your mind, just simply say, I'm here. Just keep looking. I'm here. And we went back through, and the same 10-minute walk came back, and suddenly everyone saw all those creatures. That's meditation in nature. And that's one of the reasons that as much time as you can spend in nature, you should. Part of every year, I go home. I'm in New York for part of the year, in our offices and studios and doing films and documentaries. My newest film, which I'm going to play some tomorrow, very positive, very upbeat film called Plant Codes. You're going to see 10 minutes of it tomorrow. Doctors healing themselves using a plant-based diet. Very motivational. Everybody will like it. Well, that's where I do a lot of this work. But then I go home to a ranch, and at that ranch, I'm around nature every day and working out and planting flowers. It's my hobby, is art, landscape architecture. I love to see what I can do to, wherever I have some nature, enhance it and be with animals, and just to sit there and watch a strange rabbit come up, and the rabbit will sense whether it should fear you. That's one of the things that meditation does. It allows a greater harmonization of yourself to the environment and people you're in. You're no longer angry about everything. You're no longer carrying agitation, even doing it in traffic, so you don't get frustrated and beep your horn or yell at someone or go into road rage when the traffic's not moving. So reducing stress, which is big, very important. Why? Because stress creates cortisol. And cortisol is only meant, it's very good, it's only meant as a fight or flight. So if we're awake in the middle of the night, instantaneously our muscles are stronger, our blood pressure comes up, our breathing is enhanced, our heartbeat quickens, our mind is more acute, we can hear better. Because what if we need to flee or fight? But if you're angry about something, frustrated about something, annoyed about something, you've turned on that same alarm. Cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine, catecholamines, they're all elevated, not good. That can kill you. Literally, stress can create a heart attack. Stress can create strokes. You damage your brain when you're under stress. So meditation does that. It controls anxiety. There's less stress translating to less anxiety. It promotes emotional health. And some forms of meditation can also lead to improved self-image. For example, if you look in the mirror and you think, wow, I'm missing some gray hairs. My muscles are not what they used to be. Oh, I'm getting a belly. I used to be flat. If that happens to you, instead of being angry at yourself and getting stressed, and then anxious, why not simply say, hey, right there, instead of being a noun, that fat on your body, or that pimple on your chin, make it a verb. I'm acneing. I'm cancering. I'm asthmaing. Whatever it is, it's a process. It's not a noun. Nouns are hard to change, but verbs are easy. So you can say, I'm going to get through this. And also, that's just the total accumulation of all the choices I've made up to this moment. I'm going to make better choices today and tomorrow. So being able to have a healthier self-image, being happy with yourself, no matter what bad choices you've made, doesn't do any good to beat up on yourself. Just say, okay, I've learned some lessons from my bad choices. Go forward with a better mindset. That's what meditation does. Meditation also, in new science, has been shown to reduce age-related memory loss. For those who meditate, you are much healthier at the genetic level, at the epigenetic level. So meditation allows a lot of things that would otherwise be personalized not to be. We don't need to personalize everything that happens in life as somehow we should react to it, respond to it, emote to it. We don't. Just let it be. It is just information, what it is. Also, stress can generate kindness. Meditation can generate kindness. And it can help fight addictions. In fact, the mental discipline can develop through meditation that can help break dependencies by increasing your self-control and self-awareness of the triggers for addiction. Now, because I taught tens of thousands of people at Trafalgar Hospital and the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was one of my titles, aside from senior research fellow in anti-aging medicine and nutrition, was also in addiction control. I would help use a holistic, humanistic, more spiritual approach to overcoming any form of addiction. And I had about an 88% success rate. The current rate's around 4% with orthodox therapies. And everybody learned meditation. So the moment you start feeling, I got to have whatever it is, your addictive substance, you pull back and say, okay, before I go there, let me see what I can do with meditating. You relax your breathing, you breathe deep and diaphragmatically, and next thing you know, you think, I don't need that right now. That's the power of meditation. It helps control pain. It improves sleep. In fact, it decreases blood pressure. You can do it anywhere. And one of the things that I've tried to share with people to get a better night's sleep is before you go to bed, do a little meditation. You simply write down on a piece of paper the things that are really bothering you, the things that you don't feel good about. Just write them down and say, okay, tomorrow, absolutely, I'm going to deal with these issues that are bothering me. And you write down the issues that are bothering you. Maybe just short little bullet lines. Don't like the way I was spoken to yesterday. It was disrespectful. I'm going to let them know. They got to think about how they're talking to me and not yell at me. And you write them all down. Do you know what happens when you do this as a meditation? The mind then says, now you can go to sleep because you're going to deal with it tomorrow. It works. I've gotten positive feedback from so many people. But if you don't do that, then you're going to lay there and be thinking about your problems, which you can't resolve then anyhow. So just a little thing all through meditations. The takeaway message is, even running marathons, and I've taught over 30,000 people, ran it with them. I don't even know how many marathons I've done. I was told 81. I don't know if it's 81, but one year I ran 7, and I was running them every year. I don't run marathons for the last 5 years, but I'm going to run one next year. Because I just enjoyed the whole process of the transformation of people's lives between the first step they take when they don't think they can go a mile to when they're celebrating passing that 26-mile mark and realizing, yeah, I did it. Therefore, I can do just anything in life. But I show people how don't think about how difficult it is running the marathon. Run it as a meditation, a joyful meditation, and it works. Now, alpha-lipoic acid is one of those really super powerful positive antioxidants we should put in our body. And this is from the Oregon University School of Medicine. And this was published in Neuroimmunology and Neuroinflammation. And it showed that it protects your brain from multiple sclerosis. That's what the study showed. And they did a 2-year study, 120-week period. And there was a 17.5% reduction in that what would happen. And they say they used high doses. I can assure you the dose I would recommend is much higher than what they're suggesting. But let's just say that you are an average person and you want to protect your brain. You're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You're young. Well, then I would suggest 400 milligrams a day of alpha-lipoic acid. Now, if you're sick, if you have ALS and multiple sclerosis, I'm not going to tell you what to take. I'm assuming that you would be in the hands of a qualified clinician helping you, but it's way up from there, spaced throughout the day. And what's nice about alpha-lipoic, L-I-P-O-I-C, acid, it works inside the cell and outside the cell. Very few antioxidants do that. Also, from the Akemen Human Nutrition and Health Research Center, they found that daily supplements of spearmint extract can support cognitive enhancement and enhance physical performance in individuals. 90 days they did this with 900 milligrams per day of spearmint extract. Now, you can get spearmint extract anywhere. Very easy to get. And I like to put spearmint into a salad. Yeah, the leaves are great. It fools people. You make a salad, and you put some watercress in there because that's very chewy. You put purslane in there, my favorite vegetable of all. And it's very chewy. It's crunchy and has kind of like a slightly bitter taste to it. But it's one of the healthiest greens they eat in Italy and Spain and the islands in the Caribbean, in the Mediterranean. But then put some peppermint or spearmint into the salad. And then put some cinnamon basil in the salad. So they're looking for something, and it looks like just green, but every single bite releases a different group of essential oils. So the salad tastes wonderful. And then sprinkle some fresh pomegranate on top and mix it in. So just another way to have a better brain, better cognition, using something as simple, inexpensive, easy to get as spearmint. But let's say you can't find the fresh spearmint, but you can if you go to the farmer's market. In fact, at the Union Square Farmer's Market in New York City, there was one booth. It was big, and I had never seen that many fresh herbs offered before. And when I was filming David Boulay, America's Greatest Chef, and he was showing me how he personally goes to the market every day, and he personally tries every herb, and it has to be just, and this is the one he went to. And go there, and I don't even know the name of it, but you'll see all the different herbs. None of them have like 100 herbs. This place has 100 different herbs. Fresh. You can take them home. Try it. Also, from the University of Hartford, they found that if you're low in magnesium, you're far more likely to have high blood pressure, but also the reverse is true. If you have high levels of magnesium, like 1,000 milligrams a day, then that can help lower your blood pressure. It can help you prevent a heart attack also. And from Montreal University, this is a good study, and it shows food-based carotenoids may lower lung cancer risk. Quote, people consuming the highest intake of carotenoids and vitamin C from fruit and vegetable sources may reduce their risk of lung cancer by up to 35%. That's terrific. And that was published in Frontiers in Oncology, a major journal. Quote, in our study, high dietary intake of B-carotenine and carotene A and lycopene and vitamin C were associated with a decreased risk of lung cancer. Now, mind you, that's just one way of reducing lung cancer by 35%. And that's just the vitamin C found in food. If you were to supplement that with, let's say, 5 or 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C beyond that, you would substantially reduce your risk of cancer. Also from Georgetown University, a new study showing that women who are pregnant, who have a high-fat diet, you really increase the risk of breast cancer over generations. So get yourself on a lower-fat diet, healthy fats, What are the best fats? Olive oil, extra virgin, first press, organic olive oil. Stay away from the cheap brands, in my opinion, because there's a lot of fake oil coming out of Italy and Spain, and you're paying for something you're not getting. Get good brands, you know, Bragg, Spectrum, the whole bunch of good ones. And we've posted up on my website ones that have been found to be adulterated. Very little olive oil, most of it's peanut oil and corn oil or soy oil. And then for cooking, only use three oils. Here are the three oils used for cooking. Coconut, mustard green, and macadamia. Then walnut oil, hemp oil, flaxseed oil, olive oil, almond oil. Use sesame oil. Use those afterwards or at the end of cooking. And if you think that a diet and children are not important and they can eat anything and get away with it, wrong. This is from the Journal of Neuroscience, and this is very important, and here's what it says. Poor adolescent diet can influence your brain and behavior in adulthood. Now, for those of us who work with children, and I do, who've done a study on children, I did a special study for a year on ADD and ADHD and was able to reverse it in about 90% of the kids when we changed the diet and gave them the nutrients to rebuild their intestinal microbiota, the bacteria. Everything is important that a child puts in their brain, including the nutrients. So if you're giving them sugar and cereals, animal proteins, caffeine, you are going to make a very sick child sicker as an adult. So healthy diet, essential. And finally, on the subject of health and healing, oh, by the way, in the next break, I'm going to talk about how increased air pollution cuts victims' lifespans by 10 years. Whoa. And most people are not even aware how polluted their environment is. If you go out and see the skies are clear, you think, no big deal. Yeah, a big deal. I'll explain that next break. But here's one thing. Data reveals farm salmon, and that's about 99% of the salmon that you're getting in restaurants and stores, to be one of the most toxic foods in the world. Quote from Amelia Kinney from The Natural Blaze, a quality source. I recommend them. Aquaculture is often celebrated as a sustainable solution to overfishing, but in reality, farmed salmon may be one of the most toxic foods in the world as a result of overcrowding, disease, pollution, and low-quality fish meal. The resulting salmon meat is often contaminated and can lack the valuable nutrients of wild-caught salmon. So, I've been to salmon farms, I've been to catfish farms, I've been to tilapia farms. You don't want to eat farm-raised anything, especially shrimp. Last night, while I was doing my post-show notes, and by the way, if you didn't have a chance to hear last night, the world's number one authority on Arctic ice and the Arctic environment, professor from Cambridge University in England, was on for the Progressive Commentary, and we talked about what happens when that ice melts, when we have an ice-free Arctic, which may happen this summer. And it's a whole hour. And he's very honest. He doesn't believe in holding back because we're all snowflakes and can't handle the truth. He just shared the truth. And he's the wisest man on the planet. There's not a human being alive who knows more about the Arctic and what happens he does. So you're getting, there's no politics involved. There's no agenda. Just here's what is happening. Here's what you should know, and here's what you can do. In any case, afterwards, I wanted to see what kind of commercials I intentionally turn on programs, see what are the programs, what are the commercials, where's America going, what are they spending their time watching. And one of these very popular shows is this show on Man, Food, and Fire and everything. I would never recommend anything anyone eats there. But in any case, they were showing shrimp on one of these shows. And no one was asking, where's the shrimp come from? Is it locally farmed? Or is it farmed out of China? Remember, the vast majority of fish shrimp sold in America today comes from China and Taiwan. Go up and Google farm-raised salmon, farm-raised tilapia, farm-raised catfish, farm-raised shrimp, and then ask yourself, do you really want to eat it? So just be aware, you wouldn't know that from a menu. I just don't want you getting sick or parasites. And finally, a simple classroom on the air. I try to make things as easy to understand as possible. You've heard me say many times, never confuse the complexity of a problem with the simplicity of its solution. Here's the problem. Almost all disease, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, dementia, fibromyalgia, these are caused in no small measure by inflammation. Inflammation comes from the quality of the foods and beverages we consume. A cola, coffee, a soft drink causes inflammation. Now, a juice, a healthy juice, apple juice, orange juice, grapefruit juice, beet juice, vegetable juice, does just the opposite. It turns off inflammation. So you could say that one is causing a fire, the other is the fire extinguisher. It's that simple. Fire, fire extinguisher. Hot dogs, hamburgers, donuts, pizzas, pretzels, the foods that most Americans love to eat are not good for them. Now, this is not a matter of science. This is not open to debate. You can debate how you want to approach the illnesses you have. That's a legitimate debate. Do you want to go an orthodox way or an alternative way or a combination? Completely legitimate. I work with doctors all the time, orthodox doctors. They're using one approach, but they don't know about health, nutrition, and so I help this person with their bettering their diet, and the person gets better. But there is absolutely no science in the world that shows that eating a lot of sugar is good for you. There's no article ever written today in the scientific literature that says you eat pastrami, your prostate's better, your colon's better, your breast cancer risks are less. So the American diet has been tested to death. We have tens of thousands of studies. So here's the simplicity. You've got a choice of two ways of eating food, or two types of food to eat. One that creates inflammation and one that promotes healing at the cellular level. The one that promotes healing does so, why? Because of what are called antioxidants. An antioxidant is vitamin C, vitamin E, alpha-lipoic acid I just mentioned, coenzyme Q10. Now, each one of these does different things, like B6 is an antioxidant, and zinc, selenium, copper, quercetin, astaxanthin, the L-carnosine, lycopene, tocotrienols, bilberry and rutin and hesperidin. These are all antioxidants. There's about 30 really good ones. These are the superstars. They do more than trap free radicals. Oh my goodness. Coenzyme Q10. I believe that if every American adult took 400 milligrams a day of coenzyme Q10, ubiquinol, along with 1,000 milligrams of L-carnitine, along with high heat unit quercetin, along with 1,000 milligrams of magnesium from citrate, that we could reduce our heart attack rate by 50% in the first year. We could save 300,000 lives a year. Something that easy, that simple. So I'm not even talking about all the wonderful things these nutrients do. I'm just saying as antioxidants, they trap free radicals. Now, here is an unpaired electron. These free radicals we normally produce, but the more you exercise, ironically, you create an oxidative stress by this. If you're an athlete and you're not taking antioxidants same time you're training, you're going to really age your body prematurely. Now, as a world-class athlete, as someone who has multiple world records, national records, state records by the truckload, winning over 500 races and championships, and still competing. I'm still out there training to compete. I'll do 5 races this year. I can tell you that I've been in the racing field long enough to see all those athletes like a Sam Skinner, a Sid Howard, people I've run with who we were race companions. They're taking antioxidants. after they work out. Hence, the free radicals they created from their workout are neutralized. They attach, and boom, they become neutral. And that's called compensation. To the degree that you created an imbalance, you must exceed that imbalance, not to have damage from that. So when you are creating all these free radicals, smoking free radicals, eating meat free radicals, sugar free radicals, stress free radicals, you better have antioxidants, because if you don't, the free radicals are going to hit the cells are going to become inflamed, the inflammation through a whole series of new chemicals, prostaglandins, and different types of pro-inflammatory cytokines. Now you're going to end up with pain. Oh, I got pain in my elbow. Oh, I got a pain in my chest. Oh, my lower back is pain. Oh, I got headaches. Inflammation. Inflammation is one of the foundational problems of all disease. So if you want to help yourself prevent all disease, make sure you're eating healthy fruits and vegetables. There's your antioxidants. Taking healthy juices throughout the day. Taking supplements of antioxidants. So if you're taking vitamin C 6 times a day, that's ideal, because it's going to last anywhere from, depending upon your health or if you've got disease, it could last anywhere from 3 to 4 hours in your body. But then it's gone. Your body's used up. If you've got viruses, bacteria, if you've got chronic fatigue syndrome, by the way, we're going to be doing a one-hour special with the world's leading authority on chronic fatigue syndrome on an upcoming program. A lot of people suffer from it. Doctors misdiagnose it all the time, and we can tell you what it is and how to work with it. So magnesium, very important, yes, for your heart, absolutely, for your muscles, yes, but as an antioxidant also. So you get more antioxidants in your body, and you're going to age slower. You're less susceptible to inflammation, which means your brain is going to stay healthier longer. You're going to keep your brain, you're going to keep your vision, less likely to have macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma, which are due to inflammatory reactions in the eye. And this is basic science, basic nutritional biochemistry 101. All right? Most Americans do just the opposite. They eat all the foods they shouldn't, which are pro-inflammatory, and take no antioxidants. So then they get sicker faster. So for all of you who are watching over Facebook, I thank you for coming on. And every day you're only going to be watching the Health and Nutrition segment. But we're going to take you out today with a young woman who's going to share some inspirational insights for us. And boy, was she right, because we see her 20 years later. Watch this, please.
Hello, I'm Severin Suzuki, speaking for ECHO, the Environmental Children's Organization. We're a group of 12 and 13-year-olds trying to make a difference. Vanessa Setti, Morgan Geisler, Michelle Quigg, and me. We've raised all the money to come here ourselves, to come 5,000 miles to tell you adults you must change your ways. Coming up here today, I have no hidden agenda. I am fighting for my future. Losing my future is not like losing an election or a few points on the stock market. I am here to speak for all generations to come. I am here to speak on behalf of the starving children around the world whose cries go unheard. I am here to speak for the countless animals dying across this planet because they have nowhere left to go. I am afraid to go out in the sun now because of the holes in our ozone. I am afraid to breathe the air because I don't know what chemicals are in it. I used to go fishing in Vancouver, my home, with my dad, until just a few years ago we found the fish full of cancers. And now we hear of animals and plants going extinct, every day vanishing forever. In my life, I have dreamt of seeing the great herds of wild animals, jungles and rainforests full of birds and butterflies. But now I wonder if they will even exist for my children to see. Did you have to worry of these things when you were my age? All this is happening before our eyes, and yet we act as if we have all the time we want and all the solutions. I'm only a child, and I don't have all the solutions. But I want you to realize, neither do you. You don't know how to fix the holes in our ozone layer. You don't know how to bring the salmon back up a dead stream. You don't know how to bring back an animal now extinct. And you can't bring back the forest that once grew where there is now a desert. If you don't know how to fix it, please stop breaking it. Here, you may be delegates of your government, business people, organizers, reporters, or politicians, but really, your mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, and all of you are someone's child. I'm only a child, yet I know we are all part of a family, 5 billion strong, in fact, 30 million species strong, and borders and governments will never change that. I'm only a child, yet I know we are all in this together and should act as one single world towards one single goal. In my anger, I am not blind, and in my fear, I am not afraid of telling the world how I feel. In my country, we make so much waste. We buy and throw away, and yet northern countries will not share with the needy. Even when we have more than enough, we are afraid to share. We are afraid to let go of some of our wealth. In Canada, we live the privileged life with plenty of food, water, and shelter. We have watches, bicycles, computers, and television sets. The list could go on for 2 days. 2 days ago, here in Brazil, we were shocked when we spent time with some children living on the streets. This is what one child told us. I wish I was rich. And if I were, I would give all the street children food, clothes, medicines, shelter, and love and affection. If a child on the streets who has nothing is willing to share, why are we who have everything still so greedy? I can't stop thinking that these are children my own age, that it makes a tremendous difference where you are born, that I could be one of those children living in the favelas of Rio. I could be a child starving in Somalia, or a victim of war in the Middle East, or a beggar in India. I am only a child, yet I know if all the money spent on war was spent on finding environmental answers, ending poverty, and finding treaties, what a wonderful place this earth would be. At school, even in kindergarten, you teach us how to behave in the world. You teach us not to fight with others, to work things out, to respect others, to clean up our mess, not to hurt other creatures, to share, not be greedy. Then why do you go out and do the things you tell us not to do? Do not forget why you are attending these conferences, who you're doing this for. We are your own children. You are deciding what kind of a world we are growing up in. Parents should be able to comfort their children by saying, everything's going to be all right. It's not the end of the world. And we're doing the best we can. But I don't think you can say that to us anymore. Are we even on your list of priorities? My dad always says, you are what you do, not what you say. Well, what you do makes me cry at night. You grown-ups say you love us, but I challenge you, please, make your actions reflect your words.
Wise statements from a young girl 25 years ago. Those same statements could be accurate today. In fact, two of the most important environmental movements of the 20th century, getting rid of the slave labor in India, was from 14-year-old. I think they got 3 million others to help stop the child labor. So we should be listening more to some of the wise voices of the young and acting on it. We're going to take our break in a second, but I thought you'd like to hear something insightful, philosophical, from the great philosopher Alan Watts.
Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer who lost a horse, ran away. And all the neighbors came around that evening and said, "That's too bad." And he said, "Maybe." The next day, the horse came back and brought 7 wild horses with it. And all the neighbors came around and said, "Why, that's great, isn't it?" And he said, "Maybe." The next day, his son was attempting to tame one of these horses and was riding it and was thrown and broke his leg. And all the neighbors came round in the evening and said, "Well, that's too bad, isn't it?" And the farmer said, "Maybe." And the next day, the conscription officers came around looking for people for the army, and they rejected his son because he had a broken leg. And all the neighbors came round that evening and said, "Isn't that wonderful?" And he said, "Maybe." The whole process of nature is an integrated process of immense complexity, and it is really impossible to tell whether anything that happens in it is good or bad, because you never know what will be the consequences of a misfortune, or you never know what will be the consequences of good fortune.
Think about that for a moment. Just yesterday, I counseled a person who seems to have had everything in life and then had a misfortune. But because that misfortune, the person changed, I was seeing them after the change, and the person said the best thing that ever happened was that misfortune, because had I not had that misfortune, I wouldn't have realized how close to killing myself I was with my diet and diabetes and obesity and high blood pressure. Now the person's lost the weight, is on a healthier diet, a different perception. So there's a lot of meaning in what he says. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting in our studio and streaming now, video streaming over Progressive Reader Network. And we'd like to welcome you and hope you had a nice holiday. And what I want to do now is a couple things. I'm going to share the latest on environmental issues that I think are important. And then we're going to play a piece on a retired judge, Doug Bench, admitting all the people he jailed for marijuana haunts him. Why? And this will tie in, and that's why I selected the Alan Watts piece. This will tie into that in a moment. You won't want to miss that. But also I want to mention that coming up, starting this Saturday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be doing my new health support group, not in what we normally would do, a large church with 500 people, because so many people could not attend. And I was reading some of the heartfelt emails of people say, "Oh, I can't make it in," or "I live in Colorado, want to live in Louisiana, but I'm overweight, or I have high blood pressure, or diabetes, or arthritis, or heart disease." So I'm opening up to anyone in the world who wants to attend, up to a certain limit, I'm going to be doing about 2 hours of answering questions and talking about the protocols that I feel are important for this. Then we'll be showing an original documentary that you haven't seen. Go to GaryNoll.com or PRN.fm, or if you don't have any of those, just call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, my main office number, and then they'll direct you how to get information on this. We have our bandwidth set, and this way you can be in the comfort and coolness of your home, because it was really hot in the church. Nice group of people, though. Just really positive energy people wanting to change their life now. And yet, had not something bad happened to each and every one of those people in that church on Saturday, they'd still be doing the same thing, hoping that they wouldn't have a negative outcome until the heart attack, the stroke, or whatever happened, that suddenly they got a wake-up call saying, I better get serious now. So it's time for seriousness. And this is a way, and we have fun with it. There's lots of laughter and lots of joy. So that starts Saturday. And when we're full, we're full. And there'll be four consecutive Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m. So that's that. Now, I also am posting today, I didn't realize so many people would be interested in it, a little piece called A Dream Cabinet for Millennials, supported by a council of wise elders. And for progressives and independents who do not buy into the partisan duopoly in Washington, Jill Stein and the Green Party received just a disappointing 1% of the vote. Nearly 100 million people chose not to vote, and more than 125 million voted either Democrat or Republican. This was the most angry election in recent history, with half the voters irate and livid at the other half. So here's the question. Isn't it time that we stopped trying to get a system that has completely failed us to work? Instead, look at what would work, and including bringing in people in their 30s and 40s to lead, and those of us who've been involved in social movements to guide, to be there as objective council of elders. And so I listed all the different things they could do, the different platforms. Who could be in a Department of Defense like Ray McGovern, who was a former CIA director but a peace advocate, and Nick Turse and Rebecca Gordon and David Swanson. These are all people involved in peace. Well, that's exactly who you want to run a Department of Defense. You want to take that money used on defense and put it back into social systems, de-ghettoizing America, bringing jobs back here, building infrastructure, make America able to thrive through a commitment to higher ideals. You can't put a warmonger heading a department of war and expect anything other than conflict. So it's a different approach to the problem than anything we've seen. And I put here, what would we want to achieve? What's the goal? What's the purpose of this process? Well, here's some of my principles, and I'm sure that they align with yours. Stop regime change in foreign nations. No longer support dictators and rogue nations such as Saudi Arabia and others. Stop widespread spying and surveillance of all citizens. Stop energizing the fossil fuel energy and contributing to further global warming, and make efforts to reverse its trend. Stop the proliferation of GMOs and industrial monocrop agriculture and destruction of our environment by the meat industry. Reverse the dumbing down of our educational institutions, put a halt on charter schools and for-profit education. Pass a national universal health care. Obstruct the power of the pharmaceutical industries to dictate and control federal health agencies. Restore the Glass-Steagall Act and curtail Wall Street casino gambling and do not bail them out. Restore the nation's broken, archaic railroads, highways, schools, bridges. Revert private prisons to the public sector and close all private prisons. Eliminate all people who are imprisoned for debt. In other words, that should have been in 1833. We're right now in the United States in a Dixonian time where if you couldn't pay a traffic fine, you could spend a year in jail and never get out because you're poor, you can't pay a $20 parking or fine. So they're charging $136 a day to be in their private prison. You have to see their private judge. You see their private police force. You see their private probation officer. And they're charging you for everything. If they give you some white bread, they're charging you for it. So how, if you have no money to begin with, are you ever going to get out of this? And they're charging you compounding interest. And so then a month later, you owe them $5,000 off a $40 fine. True story, by the way. That's what we become as a nation? And no one's talking about it? It's on no one's talking points? Well, we're going to talk about it. And we're going to do something about it. Eliminate the war on drugs. Legalize drugs, but also set up healing centers in every community in America. Have open and honest conversation and dialogue on what causes people to engage in addictive behavior. Regulate trade agreements so that we are not being abused. Stop prison labor. And also eliminate Citizens United and restore the constitutional separation of church and state. Those are just some of the things that we can do. But the Democratic Party cannot do it. Bernie Sanders cannot do it, though he talks about some of those points. He is a hardcore, super warmongering hawk on a lot of other things and an interventionist and a big supporter of NATO. So why don't we get those people who've shown by their commitment that they're willing not to engage in left and right? That's the problem. Identity politics is a game used against people to keep them fighting each other instead of supporting energy for common good. So I published this with all the names of the people who could be a part of it. And that's just the beginning. This is just the beginning template. It can alter, change, evolve. So it's there. You can add your suggestions to it. Stephen Hawking says we are close to tipping points where global warming becomes irreversible. And this was at the University of Cambridge. And however, we have just learned from last night that about 7 tipping points have tipped beyond redemption. We cannot reverse them, no matter what we do. That does not mean we shouldn't be planting trees and doing other things like getting rid of meat in our diet. Yes, we should. But no matter what any human being tells you or does, you're going to have global warming go past 2 degrees within the next 5 years, and then you're going to have 1/3 of the planet uninhabitable. So we're that close to really shaking it up. I wished it weren't the truth, but it is. Are governments going to do anything about it? No. Industry? No. Individuals? No. So we've been preaching this for so long and imploring people, make the right choice, do something right, and everybody passes it on to someone else. And so nature doesn't care about our politics, our indifference, our hubris, our rationales. It's coming at us, and you're going to see it. And we're seeing it now, by the way. And in fact, just today, there's this from Pacific Standard. Simultaneous widespread global heat waves are the new norm. Late spring warm encircling the northern hemisphere with records on every continent. The first big heat wave, 2017, started unusually early in some parts of the world and has been notable for its globe-spanning scope. And it says that it is hitting every landmass in the northern hemisphere from the desert southwest of the United States to western Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, and South Central Asia. In the Southwest Weather Station in California, Nevada, and Arizona, daily records set just last year are now being broken by as much as 2 degrees, okay, per day. Nearly every day since late May has brought a new all-time monthly temperature record in some part of the world, including 126 degree Fahrenheit reading in Iran on June 29th, the highest temperature ever in that country and the highest ever June reading in Asia. But there are other countries with even higher temperatures, 128 in Pakistan. And so it goes on. So now, as long as you've got air conditioning, as long as you're not getting one of those 128 degree days, you're going to think, that doesn't impact me. Yeah, it does. Big time. So we have a choice right now, and that choice is we can look at what we can't change, look at what we can change, and then personally, individually in small groups, begin to change. 99% of people will not do a damn thing until Katrina hits them, till Sandy at Category 5 hits them, until 130-degree days hits them, until Yellowstone National Park has an eruption. Only after the fact do we change instead of before the fact. And that's unfortunate. So our next discussion should be about why is human nature incapable of change until after it's forced to. I'm going to hold that report until tomorrow. I'm going to hold that audio clip about that retired judge till tomorrow because it'll be as relevant tomorrow as it is today, but we're out of time for today. I want to thank you all for listening and watching. We'll share more tomorrow. Have a nice day.